says, blessing, be in the house of the Lord again. You know, we said we're going to do certain things, but I think we need to make sure we say, if God will, that we will do this and we will do that. I got this morning, so I'm going to be on church real long time. Got up 20 minutes earlier than I normally do. End up leaving 20 minutes later. Things just get in the way, and you can't always do what you want to do. Amen. We're going to read this morning from St. John 15, Paul, Brother Ryan was teaching on. St. John 15, 1 through 17. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we thank you for this journey, this time that you've given us to come together. Lord, we may do many things that we want to do, but Lord, let us always put you first in all things that we do. Lord, ask you to lead us, Lord, and guide us. Lord, to bless us. Lord, for within ourselves, we have no strength. But Lord, all things are possible through you. And that's what we're asking. We pray that the words that we read today, Lord, they will find a place to rest in our hearts, that we may be strengthened by what we hear. Lord, for you are possible, and we thank you for it. We ask you to bless Brother Wade this morning as he prepares to minister your word to us, God, that we will be blessed when we hear it. Lord, we know that many things we hear, times we hear it, Lord, they slip our minds. But God, let us keep praying and keep worshiping and believing that you will give your word unto us. And let us always be surrendered, Lord, and love one another in all things we do. Amen. St. John 15, verses 1 through 17. I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit.
Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same branch bringeth forth fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you.
Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples.
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, continuing you in my love.
If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I
these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full.
This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
You are my friend.
Henceforth I call ye not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made them known unto you.
Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and remained you, that you should
These things have I commanded you, that ye love one another. Amen. God bless you. Be saved.
What a place to abide in the Father's love. So wonderful to know that he has chosen us to abide there. Amen. Brother Boyd, would you come this morning and take up the tithes and offering for us?
Lord, we're so thankful for the opportunity freely to come into you. We just pray that your word come this morning, call upon our needs. You know every need and every blessing that comes.
Yes.
And we just pray that you will be with us this hour in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Let's sing, Feel My Way Every Day with Love. Amen. I want to be filled with the love of Christ this morning. Amen.
Oh, let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above.
You. Man, what a mighty God we serve. What a time we're in. Just exciting time. A wonderful time that we can be part of it and be here and be alive. There's a lot that went on, but we're here alive and well. That's why I love that song. We're alive and well, living to tell what? That Jesus is the same. Same yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you with us. We've got Brother Bob's family's gone, Brother Lewis's family's gone, and Brother Aaron's family's gone. So they're out traveling and preaching the Word of God. So we sure want to pray for them to get back home. And we have a couple of special, well, we have one special visitor. He's in the very back, the young man behind the old man with the gray hair in the suit. And that's our cousin, the one we don't let out much. And his name's Terry Dale. His dad was JC, which was the oldest brother, and then my dad's the youngest brother, so the two bookends. And he's our cousin. He don't even know if he's a Baptist or a Methodist, either one. So we'll try to make him a little Pentecostal today if he'll just hang around for a minute. Amen? All right. We'll try. He has a singing group called Georgia, and it's a good group to listen to. If you listen to WCON, different places, they play the group named Georgia, and they've been around for a long time. And we appreciate having our brother behind him that is with us today, that's a visitor. We appreciate him and just worship the Lord. That's what we come here to do. We didn't come here to see each other. We came here to worship the Lord. Amen. So we appreciate all of you. Thank you, number one, for the prayers and the visits that you give to Dad. He's still in the hospital there, and he's fighting a fight, so we're going to fight it with him. Amen. And we appreciate the Lord bringing you guys by and giving words of encouragement. So we appreciate that. Also, Brother Luis will be speaking for us Wednesday night. Remember, the meeting's coming up in July. I had announced that Brother Samuel Prakash was coming next Sunday, but he will not be here because we don't know what's going on further in the future with Dad. So we're going to, he's going to go on and preach somewhere else. So we'll just have regular service here next Sunday. Also, remember July 19th, 20th, and 21st, the sign-up sheet's downstairs. A lot of you have signed up. If you're going, please sign up so we can figure out what kind of hotel rooms we can get. We've tried to get Airbnbs, but not happening. So please put your name down. We'd love for you to go, help you with transportation. But we are going to go up and have a three-day meeting up there, have a youth service at Brother Andre Head's in Irwin, Tennessee. We were up there last year at the same time, and we had a wonderful time, and a lot of you went. We sure appreciate that. Also, Brother Harris and Sister Harris sent us a letter. Thank you. Quit controlling my stuff up here. Brother Harris and Sister Harris, you know, they lost their daughter, 42-year-old daughter, a couple of weeks ago, and we went down and supported him and helped him a little bit with the service, and a lot of you went to the service, and they wrote us a card that said, "You were right there when it mattered most with your help and support. You reached out and gave of your heart, of your generous heart, and you made more of a difference than you probably will ever realize. Thank you for all your help." And they wrote, May the God of salvation bless you and all the saints here in Lula. In the body of Christ, we thank you so very much, Brother and Sister Harris. Shalom. But that was a trying time for them. And death of a loved one's always a trying time, but it's a cycle of life. So we are appreciative of Brother Harris and Sister Harris and the family. So let's bow our heads and get started. We're going to talk about the Sardesian church age again. We've been in the church ages, and we're going to continue on with that. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you give us. Father, we pray that you would just be with us today in the service of speaking, Father. You do the speaking, Lord, and let us do the listening, Father. Just move your servant out of the way, Lord, and you speak to the people because you know what they need. Every need they have, they brought into this building. You know exactly what it is, Lord. Because you're an omnipotent God, you know everything. And Father, I pray that you'd meet all the needs. Be with the ones that are sick, Dad and the different ones, Sister Johnny and Sister Mary and all the ones that we call their names every service. Lord, I pray that you'd touch each one. Father, forgive us of our sins. Bless this day. Keep us safe. Thank you for bringing the visitors here, Lord. May they have a time with you, Lord, that they've never had before. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we believe that God is in his Bible. Amen. God is in his word. Everybody with me? All right. And we know that God being in his word, he gave it to a group of people. Because he said it wouldn't return void. So he gave us a Bible. He gave us something, a standard to go by. Man's tried to go by other stuff, but we have a standard to go by, and it's called the Bible. All right, everybody with me?
Amen.
All right, so being that, then we're going to start. We've been starting talking about the church ages in the book of Revelations, and we've been several sermons on it. So now we're at the church of Sardis, or the Sardisian church age. But I want to read you this. I found this morning. Watch. Happiness cannot be traveled to, owned, earned, worn, or consumed. Happiness is the spiritual experience of living every minute with love, grace, and gratitude. Amen. Think about that. Happiness can't be traveled to. You can't buy it. Can't wear it. But with love, grace, and gratitude, you'll have happiness. Happy people build their own world. Unhappy people blame other people in the world. Wow. That's profound. But let's read Revelation 1:10, then you can be seated. I know some of you older ones are wanting to sit down. Especially the one in the suit in the back. Revelation 1, verse 10. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, this is John the Revelator. And I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto these seven different churches, which are in Asia: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, we know for a fact, if you read, and we're going to get to the Laodicean church age sometime before the rapture takes place. Maybe not. I hope not. But we're going to talk about that age that you're sitting in right now.
Amen.
Cold, formal.
Yes.
Yes. You're neither hot or cold. God's going to spew you out of his mouth.
Right.
He stands at the door and knock. And I turned to see the voice that spake to me. Now, John turned to see the voice. And he heard it as the voice of a trumpet. He turned around and he saw somebody. Mm-hmm. He saw a symbol. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. You may be seated, the Lord at his blessing. I'll read the rest of it here in just a minute. But look at the symbolism to this. He was girt about the paps, which is feminine, which is here. In other words, John is seeing Christ in bride form, because we will not see him until he comes back. We meet him in the air. And we go into what? We go to the wedding supper, and then we come back here and live on the earth for 1,000 years. And that's when we'll see him physically. But his body can't be on the earth physically with his bride being here, because that would be two bodies. He said, we're the bride. We're the body. We're the church. We're the one. We're the chosen. We're the ones that supposed to, what, portray him. So there he is. He's telling us, he's showing us that there's a person standing there, but he's in a form called a bride. And we just really believe that. We believe that, everybody's not bride. I only have one wife. God's only got one wife. He don't have several. He has one. He has one wife. And we believe that it is his bride. Down through the ages, from Paul to today, still building that body. That body, we know that some of them has already gone on, and they've done their, they've run their race, they've lived their life, they've done what they're going to do.
Amen.
And it was told what they were going to do in the Bible. By these seven church ages, because remember, there were seven stars in the hand of God. So remember, that was seven unique people that God used, because those were messengers.
Yeah.
All right? There was one messenger to every church age, not several. God is not the author of confusion. He is not the author of anything but purity, and he is precise in what he does. Because he's, did we ever not discuss that God don't make a mistake? Did we ever? Oh, okay. All right, right group then. He doesn't. He doesn't make a mistake at all. And if you don't put your faith in that, you've lost. You're lost. Because we're not going to understand a lot of things that God does.
That's right.
But he's perfect. But he's eternal.
Yes,
but if you're his child. I'm not going to start preaching. I'm going to teach. Revelation 3, verse 1. Said unto the angel of the church in Sardis. Now, there's an angel, a messenger, not an angel with wings. We don't believe that. There's nothing, no such thing as angels with wings. All right? But there are angels, but this angel is a specific angel. This is one that God holds in his hands, according to Revelation 1. And he gives that person a message, all right? And we see that this angel, the church in Sardis, these things saith, he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. All right, you got a name that you live by, but you're dead. All right, we'll look at that in just a minute. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. All right, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. Mm-hmm. Are a group of people, they took the word of God for their day and lived it.
Yes.
All right, lived it.
Yes.
All right, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, he shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, what? Let him hear what the Spirit says. Not what man says, not what the letter in the book says, not what you see on TV.
Come on. Right.
You hear what the Spirit says,
yes,
to the churches. And then we took this diagram and we see that it was broke down. Thank God he sent us a prophet in the end time to tell us these things.
Amen.
And to take all the confusion out.
Right.
I mean, we've been confused. And God's not the author of confusion. And Terry's here today, and he knows that the Methodists, they sprinkle. The Baptists, they baptize. Well, I'll promise you one thing. John Wesley didn't sprinkle. The founder did not sprinkle. He baptized. So what happened? There's a confusion somewhere between that and today. All right? Everybody with me? They did not teach a baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost until the Catholic Church did it. Right? We proved that the other day. We believe that, right? It was in the name of the Lord Jesus. Find me one place in the Bible.
Amen.
You got a Bible in front of you. Find me one place where any person was ever baptized other than the name of the Lord Jesus or Jesus Christ in the Bible.
Amen.
Not one person.
Right.
So was Paul confused or was Peter confused? No.
Yes,
they had clarity. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not names.
Amen.
I'm a father today. I'm a son and I'm a spirit. But what am I? I'm Samuel Waddell II. I have a name, and now you identify that name with me.
Yes.
So the same way with the Lord Jesus. He said, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Peter comes on the day of Pentecost. He's got the keys.
Yes, sir.
He's got the keys. Jesus said, you've got the keys. Whatever you open, I'll open in heaven. Whatever you bind, I'll bind it in heaven. Peter had the keys. Now Peter goes over there and unlocks the door. And I was thinking the other day, Brother Collie, you know, there was the other. Well, of course, Judas had already hung himself by the time they got to Pentecost. To the upper room. But then you got the other 11.
Right.
You got 11, Peter plus 10. And they didn't argue with Peter.
Amen.
They got that same revelation.
Amen.
They didn't argue with Peter. I never seen that till the other day. Thank God.
Amen.
They didn't say, now Peter, hold on, Peter. Now I heard Jesus say. They knew exactly what Jesus said.
Yes.
He said in a name. The Bible says the whole family in heaven and earth got a what? A name. Jesus Christ. And we're Mrs. Jesus Christ. That's why we're not a denomination. We don't believe in them. I'm sorry, but they're dead. They're formal, cold. So are we sometimes. Come on. So I'm not preaching to these walls. I'm preaching to everybody. But there was Paul was the first church age messenger. We established that. Irenaeus was the second. Martin was the third. Columba was the fourth church age messenger. And Martin Luther, the one we're talking about now, the Lutherans are the Luther come in, and then Wesley, which is the Wesleyan doctrine, or the Methodist doctrine. And we'll get into that next Sunday, how that Methodist came about is because John Wesley established a method of worship. All right? He had a method of worshiping. But now, here we come, and we see that according to history, there in that middle church age, where it says Columba, we know that the Catholic Church, according to Nicaea, we read the book, you read it, some of you read it too, the Nicaean Council, they went to that council with a man that was supposed to be the great guy named Constantine, and he was going to bring church and state together. And he did, and he gave them power, and gave them power so much till they killed 68 million Christians, the Roman Catholic Church. They will tell you they killed that many. Read Fox's Book of Martyr. They killed 68 million Christians because they would not convert to Catholicism. All right? Everybody with me on that? So now what did Martin Luther do? Now, Martin Luther was a Catholic. He was a monk. He went into the monastery. He studied the
the Church of Rome. He went with some of their things. All right, I say things, their doctrines. He went with some of that, but then God got a hold of him one day and showed him that the just shall live by faith, not by penance. Not by dragging yourself down the street. Not by beating your head up against a wall. But the just shall live by faith. All right, is everybody with me on that? All right, and this is total history, okay? So let's get started. Now, we know one thing for sure. When we look in the Bible, when it says woman, we know that means church. All right, so now what is a female supposed to do according to Paul setting up the headship? She's to be subjective to her husband. Not a doormat, but subjected to her husband because our head is Christ. All right, Christ is the head, we're the body, but we're the head and the woman, the female, is the weaker vessel. Or we're going to talk about a little bit about this, though, that when they change roles, they become a dominating female. And we see that because what happens in the Catholic Church, they have, as we looked before, they elevate Mary and put Jesus down. Read it. It's called Mariology. Pray to Mary because she's really nice and sweet. Don't pray to Jesus. He's mean. That's garbage. Mary didn't resurrect. Mary didn't ascend. Mary had to go to Pentecost to get the Holy Ghost. All right, so we're not going to talk about that foolishness. But the female somehow became dominant, like Eve did in the garden. She took Satan's lie over her husband's truth. Everybody with me? So that created something that is a pattern that there. When you become a dominating female, then God departs from you. All right, now look. The Bible says, in 1 Timothy says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Amen. Listen, this is life, man. We get to go do whatever. We can drink, smoke, cuss. We can do whatever we want to do. That's the life. That's death. Amen. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Right. She that liveth outside the word of God is dead. Yes. Spiritually dead. You may be as alive as I'm standing here today, but spiritually as dead as a doorknob. Because God will not dwell in an unclean vessel. God will not take the garbage of the world. He wants us to what? He wants us to conform to his image, not not him conform to ours. That's what everybody wants in this end time. They want everybody to conform to their image. Whatever they, you know, Pride Month and all these different, they want you to conform to their image. No, Jesus said you conform to my image. Because somebody told me one time that God was perfect. Okay, all right, just wanted to make sure I was still there. Everybody. And he doesn't make mistakes, right? He didn't have to change his Bible. The Mormons had to change theirs several hundred times, but God will never have to change his Bible. It was perfect when he started it. He wrote it before the foundation of the world. Everybody with me? Okay. Because the Bible said he stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So now let's look and see. I know this may be strange to some, but we believe that God opened the seven seals in the end time so that we can see what was behind them. When you see something sealed up, that means that you can't see what's inside, but there must be something inside that's important. Or you wouldn't seal it up. Listen, if there wasn't, like, your gun cabinet, you don't put your gun cabinet in the living room with no doors on it. You seal it so that no one can get what's in behind there. All right? So God sealed this up till the end time because he said many times, he said, I'll restore. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you revelation. I'm going to show you mystery. Paul said, there's a mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we see that now. Manifesting itself through a bride of Jesus Christ. Yes, right. So the opening of the first two seals, when that seal opened, there was a ministry loose. Now, many people, I say many people, many denominations do not see this because the seal's not been opened to them. Right. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, so now he's fixing to open something. I'm going to try to slow down just a minute. This is not going to be a 15-minute Methodist sermon, I promise you that. Y'all are used to... Yeah, and I heard, as it were, if you need to take a break, go take a break. As it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts. Now, what's he talking about? This is John. John was commissioned to write what he saw. Right. He saw the Lamb. So he saw Jesus Christ standing in a position, and he was going to tear the seal off. That's what the Bible says. And he heard the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts. So something else come into view to John.
Yes.
Now, we see this. It correlates back to the book of Ezekiel, where you see the four living creatures in several other places in the Bible. One had the face of a lion. One had the face of an ox. One had the face of a man. One had the face of a flying eagle. And those were the four powers or beasts that are in you and me today by the Holy Ghost. It helps us overcome. The lion of the tribe of Judah. The ox that the labor that does the work. You know, go to work and do your job and labor in the Lord and wonder why we're still here. And then the man, intelligence, not intelligence of man, intelligence of God.
Yes.
To know what's right and wrong. To know if a man says something, you go, that ain't nothing but the truth, or I don't believe that.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
And then the flying eagle is up so high till man can't get there.
Right.
Other birds can't get there. So we had a lion, an ox, a man, and an eagle, according to Ezekiel, in the end time. Because the Son of Man is supposed to be here. Jesus Christ is supposed to be here in our flesh today. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Don't lock up. You can say amen. I know y'all believe that.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So one of the four beasts says, come and see. John, come here. I want to show you something. What was it? It was the Holy Ghost in John. But what did John do? John was only commissioned to write what he saw.
Right.
All right. And I saw. Mm-hmm. And behold, a white horse. Looks kind of pretty, doesn't it? And he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering him to conquer. Everybody with me?
Yes.
All right? So this looks really good. But if you dig in a little bit further, you see that he has a bow but no arrows.
Come on.
Right. Come on.
How many of you would go hunting without your bullets? Let's go all go bear hunting. Let's go grizzly bear hunting, Brother Tim, and we're not going to take any bullets. We're just going to take a gun. Or we're going to take a bow, but we're not going to take any arrows with us. No, so this man right here must be crazy. He must be anti. He must be a bluff. Because he's bluffing the people. So it's not Almighty God. He doesn't bluff. He tells you straight, and that's what it's going to be. Amen. So whoever this person is, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. Which had to be the devil, because the devil's the biggest deceiver there ever was.
Right.
He knows how to deceive. Don't try to deceive him, because he's already got you deceived.
Right.
And a crown was given unto him, so he was given a crown, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So in the first three church ages, he bluffed his way into the true. Now, there was a true white righteous church. We realize that from Paul. Paul wrote 80% of the Bible. That's why I have a problem with people. I have a problem with people saying, well, you believe this, you believe this man, William Branham, was a prophet. Yeah, I do.
Amen.
He's identifying the Bible.
Amen.
But if we quote Paul, it's okay. But if we quote him, it's not okay.
What the
heck? If we quote Billy Graham, it's okay. But we quote William Branham, it's not okay.
Right.
No. Sorry. I'm quoting Paul right now.
Yes.
I'm quoting what John saw right now.
Amen.
But he bluffed his way into the true church. There was a true church in the beginning. And what happened was Satan got in with just a little saying like, do you really believe that God and Jesus couldn't be the same person? We saw Jesus. He cried. He had to go to the bathroom. And he hungered. And he got angry. That can't be God. Oh, that's a light substance of God. So they pulled him apart. Now he said, well, the Holy Ghost has got to be a third person, so here we are with a Trinity.
Amen.
Not even in the Bible anywhere.
No way.
Listen, it's so easy to realize, behold, O Israel,
yes,
your God is one.
Amen.
And he has many manifestations,
amen,
of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, healer, Savior, revealer.
Amen.
He's all those. He's my husband. He's my God.
Amen.
But he's only one person.
Amen.
You're not going to heaven to see three people.
Come on.
Our three personalities. That's schizophrenia. My God's not schizophrenic. My God's one. Now, he does immorphe into different forms. Right now, I'm looking at his last immorphe. It's in his bride. Yes, you're not going to see Jesus Christ anywhere except in his bride. Those that have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their soul does what the Bible tells them to do.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
With no compromise.
Come on.
But that was a saying went out in the first couple of church ages. That white horse rider, he rode. You know, Satan today is not in the bar room. He got here before you did.
Amen.
And he's sitting right beside you. Or with you. So Satan's religious. Very. He's a second to God. He's a worship angel. He doesn't look, he ain't red. With a forked tail. Now, he may have a forked tongue, but he's the most beautiful angel that God made. He made Satan beautiful.
Amen.
So you look at this, and we're going to see in a minute that John saw this whore. Sorry, we speak plain here because that's what the Bible says. He saw this whore. He admired her so much, the angel had to say, John, get away from that. Because it was so beautiful. Look at churches. They're beautiful. All the colors and tapestries and gold and silver and all this stuff, the Catholic Church just throws all that out there and makes you, you know, kind of like Hollywood. Give me an old-fashioned preacher that knows the Word of God. I don't care if he preaches here or on the corner somewhere. So that white righteous church was infiltrated by a white righteous imposter. He wanted to look just like him. Remember, he said in the Bible, I want to be like the Most. I want to be God.
Yes.
I want to be the one. And then God tells us in the church age, he says, you ought to know where Satan's seat is. The Satan seat is not in the bar room. Satan seat's in church. And he wants to infiltrate here. He's got them out there.
Yes.
He wants to infiltrate us as believers.
Come on.
But praise God, if you're sealed by the Holy Ghost in your soul, he can't touch you.
Amen.
He can play with your body all he wants to. Remember he did with Job, right?
Yes, right.
But remember, through that tragedy, became a man that we see and talk about Job, even from 5,000, 6,000 years ago, we still talk about Job that went through a tragedy and made it through and come out on the other side twice as good as he was before.
Amen.
All right? So we think our problems are like that. You didn't lose all seven kids and all your house and all your whole living and everything and have boils from the head to your feet, from your head to your feet. Job did. But you know what he said? He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And in the last day, I'll stand on my feet and I'll see him for myself. What a revelation. So when he had opened the second seal, so now we see the Lamb. He's opening another seal up. I heard the second beast. So another beast comes, which is the ox, which is the laborer, or the one that does the works. Says, come and see. And then went out another horse. So there was a white horse rode out with a man on it. Then there's now is a red horse. And power was given to him that sat on that horse to take peace from the earth. And that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now the first time he saw that, it was a bow with no arrows. He was a bluff. He couldn't do anything.
Right.
It's like Brother Gary Atkins always said. He said, Satan has no arrows to shoot at you, but you give him a whole bunch to shoot at you every day.
Right.
We give them to him.
Yes, sir.
Everybody all right?
Yeah.
The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. How powerful is that? Didn't seem like much, but it's pretty powerful. And power was given to him that sat on to take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another. He's going to be so much into these people to where they're going to hate each other now. Right? And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, we know what a sword means in the Bible. It means a word. So he was given a word. He was given something that he wanted the people to live by. And he made it so outstanding. Like Constantine, we read about him in the history books, and he's this great man. Worst thing ever happened. He joined church and state together, took down Apollos and put up Paul, took down this and put up that. They started worshiping Mary. We saw through these church ages. Remember, every church age, every city that we mentioned, there was worship of a woman. Worship of a woman is what did away with their power. And then here the Catholic Church brings Mary up and elevates her to a god. Well, they'll get theirs. And there was given to him a great store. So now he's got a word. He's got a word to say now. So he's going to what? He's going to start killing with that word. Let's read here just a second. Where the prophet tells us the second calf was what? It was a calf-like beast. The first was a lion. The next was an ox. All right, when the lamb opened the seal. So let's continue on. So a red horse goes forward. Now, what is red? Red is blood. He rode that horse in the ox age, which is that middle church age, which is the age of, they call it the dark ages, or the age that where that there was Roman rule over everything, and they would kill you. They killed Christians. They put crosses on their back. They said they were on a crusade. The only crusade they were doing was killing true Christians because they wouldn't conform to the Catholic Church. And let me tell you something. They're killing billions of people now spiritually by the same identical thing. Satan is just hid now. He's got out of that killing over there in the red. Now he's over here and he's going, let's all be one. Let's all come together. Oh, let's all be one. Divide and conquer. They'll get theirs. They're going to kill each other. Now, he had a bow with no arrows, but he has a great sword now. He done his killing later and changed from white horse to red, the same devil with a sword now. And red is what? Like I said, red is blood. Now, he's got a sword in his hand, riding red, wading through the blood of every... 68 million. You take the... What was it, Josh? State of California, the state of Texas, two of the biggest states in the United States. There's 68 million people lives in those two states. You wipe those two states completely out. That's how many people the Catholic Church killed during that 900 years of persecution. That's how many they killed. You think the Jews killed 6 million, or the Germans killed 6 million Jews in 4 years? 900 years, 68 million people were killed because the Catholic Church says you either do this or you die. They'll get theirs. John saw her over there a little bit further riding on a scarlet-colored beast with a cup full of the blood of the martyrs of the saints. She'll be given her reward. The rider and all his kingdom subjects that are slain down through the ages that's drawn all this blood of the martyrs of the saints will be slain by the sword of Jesus Christ when he comes. And praise God, we can draw a sword now, and we can get those people out of that delusion. We've got several people sitting here that were in the Catholic Church. They know what's going on. And they saw light and got out. Amen?
Amen.
But now remember, she had daughters. She had prostitutes. She had daughters that took her same name. The only difference in the Catholic Church and all the other denominations is they say that it's what that's transubstantiation, that When they give the communion, it turns into the literal body of Jesus. You know, they get people to believe that. That the priest, by some power he's got, can take that wafer. Look it up. Google it. He takes that wafer, and when he puts it on your tongue, that turns into the literal body of Jesus. And they believe that. There's a lot of things they believe, but that's one I don't think I'd ever believe. Sister Jessie, I don't know if God could, God can get you out of that, but Satan, what a delusion. What a delusion. And to say that the Pope has more power than Jesus Christ to be able to change whatever he wants to change. Start a war and end a war. But remember, he's got daughters. He's got people in his system that are working the same way. All right? So let's skip through here a little bit more. Let's look at the Sardesian church age just for a second. He said, I know thy works. I know your works.
Amen.
That thou hast a name. What? That thou livest and art dead. They took on names.
Come on.
Yeah. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. But there are a few people that made it through that church age. There are a few people, even though the 68 million that were killed in that other church age that came into this Sardesian church age, there was a few people left that held on to the true word of God. They held on to what God had said, not what man has said. All right? And you're going to overcome. Look, you'll be clothed in white raiment. Praise God. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life. You know, there was a name that was blotted out of the book of life. You know that, don't you? Man's name was Judas. The Bible said his name was blotted out. But yours can if you're in the eternal section of the book of life. Yours never will. Because actually, you're the book. Remember the old saying, I can read you like a... Bible says written epistles, known and read of all men. Your life is a book. That's why when we live out there, we live different. We're not like the world. We don't mingle with the world. We have to go to Walmart. Okay, so we don't have to, but we go. But we don't mingle with them. Listen, God is a separator. He said, separate yourself from unbelief. And I'm going to read you a scripture here in just a minute where he says, come out of her. Her, a church. Come out of her, my people. My people. I'll read it to you in just a minute. So the word Sardis means the escaped ones. There were some that escaped out of that Jezebel religion that came up in the Catholic church that you worshiped a woman. All right? You're worshiping a woman. It's called a doctrine of Mariolatry. And what it is that they elevate her and you worship her and you don't worship Jesus because she's nicer than he is. If you don't believe it, ask somebody. You ask the Catholic. Who do you pray to? They'll say, we pray to Mary. Wow. But now watch. Martin Luther, praise God, stood up and said, I'm not going to deal with that no more. God filled him with the Holy Ghost in that monastery by telling... Well, actually, what happened was, let me give you a real short summation of Luther. Luther was a Catholic. Luther was in this monastery. Luther was doing penance. Luther was dragging himself across the cobblestone and you know, whacking himself with those little things that they have. And he wasn't getting anywhere. He still was, oh, wretched man that I am. But one day... He took the Bible, he learned Latin, he was a German, he learned Latin. So the Latin Vulgate is where the Catholic Church has the Bible written during the Dark Ages. It's written in Latin, so you can't understand it. What about going to church and listening to somebody preach and don't even know a word they said? That's what they do. They may change now, but that's what they do. That's what they have been doing. Because we've got the truth and you just listen. No, I want you to have the truth yourself. Please do not build yourself on a man. Amen. You better build yourself on one man, Jesus Christ. Amen. You better not build yourself on your neighbor or your friend or your mama, your daddy. You got to have your own experience with God, and that experience will take you to the Word of God every single time. Have I ever preached to y'all that God's perfect? Oh, don't make mistakes.
Come on.
Okay. He does not. We must conform to His image. This is his image. The only image we got is this. Have anybody ever seen Jesus? No, he's in here. You've never seen him in person. You might have seen him in a vision. You might have seen him in a picture. But you've never seen the physical man. Because he said, I'm going to go away. He said, but I'm going to come back. What did he do? He immorphed into the Holy Ghost and give himself out and divided himself among the people. Jesus standing on earth, he was one man. If the devil would have left him alone, he'd have died. A man, just an old guy. But Satan had to kill him to get you and me out of there. Oh, when that side opened up, you and I rushed out. The Holy Ghost came out. It came on 120 on the day of Pentecost. We still believe in the Pentecostal experience. Amen. And on the day of Pentecost, he divided himself into 120 people. So Satan didn't have to fight just one Jesus. He fought 121 Jesuses. Then on the day, that same day, there was 3,000 little Jesuses that were birthed. Listen, we're Mrs. Jesus Christ. We're him.
Yes.
Made manifest in another form called a bride. He's immorphed into the bride. That's why we act different. That's why we talk different. That's why we dress different. We don't dress different because somebody told us. The Bible tells us. So I told that sister the other day, I said, look, if you tell me in the Bible, show me in the Bible where you can cut your hair. I can show you where Paul said that your hair was your glory. And the translation, the original translation, is uncut hair. We know that. And we know that the hair is our glory. And we do those things because of what? Like Jim said many times, she said, if Jesus Christ can hang on a cross for 3 hours and die, literally die. God died in the flesh. God can't die, but God died in that flesh. That flesh was dead. If he can hang there for 3 hours for me, I can do what he said by not cutting my hair. I can do what he said by wearing clothes that don't wear clothes pertaining to a man. You say, that's Old Testament. So is the Ten Commandments.
Amen.
I've had that and thrown at me too. Well, that's the Old Testament. Well, so is the Ten Commandments. So don't take them off your wall. Listen, either throw it all out or leave it all. One of the two. Amen. Amen. As Luther crystallized the doctrine of justification by faith, nothing you've done, not by works, lest any man should boast, nothing. You and I are saved by the grace of God, the faith that we put in him, that he's already done it for us. He's already died. That's the only way you can be justified. Bible says justified freely. It's a free gift. It's free for you to have. It's not something you have to pay. You don't have to pay penance.
Yes, sir.
And if you come to church because you have to, you're paying penance. Because you think, I got to go because somebody will say something. No, I want to come here. I want to do this on Sunday. There was a time I didn't. There was a time you didn't. There's a time we ran on Sunday. I told you many times my mama tried to save me, but where'd that piece of paper go? Oh, my mama tried to save me, but she can't.
Right.
Jesus Christ is the only salvation there is. No other man, no other name. See there, there's the name. There's no other name whereby you must be saved, and that's Jesus Christ. But it's not just Jesus Christ now that hung on the cross, died, went into a tomb, came out, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's alive today.
Yes, sir.
And a group of believers. Because he said, I'll be with you and in you. I'm going to come back. I pray, Father, that they be one as we're one. How was Jesus and God one? They weren't two. They were one.
Yes.
Jesus was an immorphy of God.
Yes.
To save your soul, because God can't die.
Come on.
Jesus had to die. That body had to die to release the life inside of it, to release me and you. What's the song? When he was on the cross, what? I was on his mind. I was his very heart.
Amen.
The Bible says we're engraved in the palms of his hand. Well, praise God, when that nail went through that finger, when that nail went through that hand, it went through my name. I don't know about you.
Amen.
Went through mine. You got to say it went through yours. But there's more to it than just that. Jesus said what? He said, I'll be in you, with you, even in you. And he said in one place, he said, and I'll show you things to come.
Amen.
I'll give you more revelation than anybody's ever got. Paul said there's mysteries. There's great mysteries in this Bible that people have not even tapped into. But you and I have. When those seals opened, we saw that Satan was a master deceiver. We saw where he was. He was in the church. He wasn't in the bar room.
Right.
And there's only two spirits. God and Satan. There's no other. There's just two. Belief or doubt. So now listen. Luther crystallized the doctrine of justification by faith. They held the works, penance, prayers, other unscriptural means. And as the freed Christians glorified the Son, that's us, the Roman Catholics increased their deification of Mary until the 20th century saw, in opposition to most ranking Roman theologies, Pope Pius literally exalted Mary to glorification in a resurrected body. You know, they believe Mary resurrected just like Jesus. That doctrine is absolutely the Babylonian one of the Son carrying the mother bodily into heaven, which was pagan. If we look at all these pagan ideas, we know that the Catholic Church and the pagan ideas are just exactly the same. And they swallow that. But you know what they do? They make it so beautiful. This may not be beautiful to some people. This may be just plain. A couple of songs and worship. And get a little loud every once in a while. But this is what God wants. This is what God wants. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. He wants this. So Martin Luther was German. He was a priest, theologian. He wrote hymns. He was a friar. But what he done, though, was that he started the Protestant movement are the Protestant Reformation. All right? What does that mean? Protestant means protest. He literally stood against a worldwide, at that time, religion called Catholicism. He was part of the system, but he came out. And he's one of the most influential figures in Western and Christian history. This is a letter he wrote to the Pope. The first and chief article is this. Now, this is the Pope. He's God to them, right? Everybody with me? So you don't question him. You don't question the Pope. The first and chief article is this. Jesus Christ, our God and Lord, died for our sins and was raised again for our justification. Romans 3. He alone is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John 1. And God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In Isaiah. All have sinned and are justified freely without their own works and merits. About this time, Pope Pius' face is turning so red. Because this guy is going against everything that he upholds. And without the hand of God, they would have killed Martin Luther because they sent out to kill him right after he sent this letter out. But they couldn't find him. He actually went to a castle and lived in a castle, deep in a big old castle somewhere over there in Germany. He lived over there in a castle for several years and actually put the Bible together during that time. They couldn't find him. They had assassins out wanting to kill Martin Luther. Well, he went against their God. This is necessary. Now, look. All have sinned and are justified freely without their own merits and works by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus in his blood. This is necessary to believe. Well, he's fixing to get it now. This cannot be otherwise acquired or grasped by any work, law, or merit, or beads, or whatever, you know, buying a candle and all that other stuff they do. Therefore, it is clear and certain that this faith alone justifies us. Oh, he's coming against the Pope now. Nothing of this article can be yielded or surrendered. You see what kind of stand he took? Can we take that same stand? Even though heaven and earth and everything else falls. Then he wrote a letter to his followers. In these sermons, he hammered home the primacy of core Christian values such as love, patience, charity, freedom, and reminded the citizens to trust God's word rather than violence to bring about necessary change. Let's go to Romans 1, verse 17, and we'll finish right here. We'll finish the rest this afternoon. Romans 1, verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God. Now this, listen, the people, put yourself back in that like third or fourth church age where there was no printing press. There was no, all you had was verbiage. If somebody preached something, you heard what they said, and if somebody else wasn't there, they had to tell them what he said. There was no recorders. It's not like we're recording going around the country right now recording. We're recording and we're live streaming, both. All right? Wasn't like that. But when Martin Luther takes that Latin Vulgate and he starts translating what you see now as the Bible into German first so he could read it, and then later on, Tyndale did it for the English people. And you know what they did to Tyndale? They drug him through the street and killed him. Because you put the Bible together. That was the Catholics. They didn't want you to have this. Because you'd know truth if you had this. Jesus said the truth will set you free. So I can see just for a moment before we close. Here's Martin Luther. He's dragging himself along. And if you watch the movie, you see him. He just beats himself up. Every bad thought he has, everything, you know, he just can't get. He just condemned. God hates me. I do all this bad. And you know, even Paul had that problem. Paul said, the things I do, I would not. The things I do, I would not. Oh, this wretched man that I am. All right. We've had our conversation in times past in this guy right here. Amen. Is everybody with me? But God wants to look at your soul. He doesn't save your body. He said, I come to save your soul. But your soul is going to tell your body what to do. If you say, I'm a Christian, and I do what God says, then your body's going to show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hand. Happy and you know it. I can sing too. Know it, clap your hand. So I can see Martin Luther one day sitting in the in the monastery, and he's pulling out the old Latin Vulgate, and he's translating it. He comes to Romans 1. He starts writing it down in his German language. He said, "For there is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." Now watch. "Who hold the truth in unrighteousness." The Catholic Church had some truth when they began. But they're withholding it from the people. And Jesus right here, of course, this is God. He's talking through Paul, telling us that if you hold the truth in unrighteousness, no. You live by the faith of God. Watch Galatians. Now, I can see old Martin Luther. He said, "Man, that sounds good." Something sparks in his heart. He keeps writing. He keeps writing. He goes to the book of Galatians, and he's writing. Yeah, there wasn't printing presses back then. There wasn't computers. He had to write them with his hand. All right. Galatians 3, verse 11. He comes to that verse, and he says, "But that no man is justified by the law." Penance. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And I'm sure he probably said amen. He probably said, "I've been looking for that." Then he goes to the book of Hebrews, and he's writing and putting Hebrews together. And he says, Paul's writing, says, "Now the just shall live by faith." But watch. "But if any man draw back." In other words, if you listen to this and you don't do it, you withdraw yourself from what I'm saying today, not me, God. "If you withdraw from that, my soul shall have no pleasure in you," Martin Luther. If you withdraw yourself, because after this, you know what he did? "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Yes. He stood and wrote 95 theses. He put it on the wall of the Catholic Church. And he said, "There I stand. The just shall live by faith." Yes. Not by penance. Not by what the Pope said. Yes. Not by what you wrote down in your book. But what God said through Paul and the different ones. The just shall live by the faith of God. And Luther was a reformer. He come through and brought the Reformation in. Musicians, come on. We'll stop right there. I'll finish the rest of it this afternoon. But now watch. Let me read this real quick. Revelation 17, verse 5. Now remember, a her is a female and a church. All right, everybody with me? We all know that. "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots," so it must be a mama and some kids, "and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman," church, "drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus," would he come through that dark age. "And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." John got caught up in what was going on. It looked so pretty. "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore, John," hey, slapped him upside the head and said, "John, that thing's death. Write what you saw. I'll explain it to a group later." Praise God. "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman," or the mystery of this church, "and of the beast that carrieth her." Because what is a beast in the Bible? A beast is the power. Yes. It's something that carries you somewhere. All right. That's why we have four combat beasts that combat the beast of the devil. Yes. We have combat beasts, the lion, ox, man, and the eagle, that comes together in the baptism of the Holy Ghost that helps you overcome in your daily life and overcome as a Christian. Amen. "The beast that thou sawest was and is not." What? One pope comes, one dies. Another pope pops up, one dies. Another pope pops up, one dies. Another one pops up. Oh. "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is." Constantine looked and he saw a church that was floundering. Didn't have any money. They didn't have hardly a place to worship. He looks over here, and he's got this big church. I mean, he's got this big building. He's got a, he owns the, you know, he owns a lot of the things over here, and he takes the state and the church and puts them together. And he instills into them not the religion of the old Paul, Irenaeus, Martin. He brings their own ideas, and he marries them together, just like Jezebel and Ahab were married. Ahab was a Jew. He should have never married Jezebel. But when he did, you saw what happened. The dogs licked her blood, and he died too. So let's stop right here. Let's stand to our feet. Revelation 18:1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of her wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Must be a pretty powerful thing. You know, the Pope could have stopped. Read your history. The Pope could have stopped the killing of the Jews during World War II. But he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. Popes can start a war and they can stop a war. Popes are really powerful. But they're going to find out one day it's all superficial. There's only power in the name of Jesus, not in the church. And I look, now watch, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and that you receive not of her plagues. For his sins have reached into heaven. And God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. And the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Death. Mourning, famine. Everybody still believe the Bible's right? Amen. God don't make mistakes, right? He's going to judge her. Don't worry. Amen. But remember, he's judging us right now. Right. Hello? Right. He's judging us right now. We don't have to go to white throne judgment. Right. We know that. Why would you send your bride to a white throne judgment? We're white here. You get eternal life there. You're sitting here with it today or standing here with it today. If you believe that, believe what the Bible says. Jesus said, first thing he said what? You must be born again. That's his first doctrine, his first right out of the gate. You got to be born again. And Nicodemus said, I got to go back and get my mama's womb. He said, no, you got to be born from above because the one you got down here is not worthy.
That's right.
And you're going to die from it because of what happened in the garden. But he said, if you're born from above, you'll never die. Good. Though the skin worms destroy this body, Job said, in my flesh, I shall see God. God bless you. Let's sing a song. We'll finish the rest of this afternoon.
Oh, I was shackled by a heavy burden. Oh, neath the load of sin and shame.
What happened?
Oh, they. Since I met this blessed
met him before, if you've never met him, today's a good day.
Since he cleansed and made me whole.
Hear the promise.
I shall never cease.
Oh, he's worthy. He's worthy of all the praise. He wrote this for me and you. And for you, he wrote it for us to live it. That day
something really happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Say it to him one more time.
Yes, he touched me. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Can you do like Martin Luther? Can you protest what's going on? I know you see all these protests out in the world. They're protesting this, and they're protesting Biden, and they're protesting Trump, and they're protesting this, and they're protesting that. Have you ever stood one day and said, I protested, I don't believe any of this junk that's going on in this world. I'm a Christian. Amen. Have you ever stood and said, I don't believe that? Christians are supposed to be bold. But you need to know what you're talking about first. You need to have met him. You meet the master one time, and I'll guarantee you, he promised he'd never leave us and never forsake us. And somebody told us one time, God don't lie. He always tells the truth. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for the brothers and sisters that's come, Lord, and fellowship around the Word of God, Lord, in the hour that we're living in. This final message to the final age, Lord. This is the finality of it, Father. We know many men have down through the ages said this is it and this time's about to run out. Well, Lord, it's one day closer to that time. And Father, with the signs and all the things that we see, Lord, it can't be much longer. The Bible tells us at the very end, says, even come quickly, Lord Jesus, and get us out of this pest house. Get us out of these things, Lord, that even with life, Lord, we pray that you'd help us as Christians, Lord, to live the life that we're supposed to live, to show and shine our light before men. That somebody say, there's something different in that person. There's something different in that sister. There's something different in that brother. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for loving us and caring for us enough to send your word and heal us of the things that we need healing from, Lord. The main healing is the healing in our soul. Lord, if nobody's met you today, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you touch their heart. Go all the way where scientists, the greatest doctors in the world, cannot reach a place you can reach. And you can change a life. You can take, Lord, and deposit your eternal life into that soul of that individual. And they become a new creation, a new creature in Christ. Lord, thank you that you've given us that experience. Now I pray that that experience will come to each and every one in this building, Lord, that has not received it, Lord. I pray that in their heart today they would receive you, Father. We ask these things, Lord, to ones that are sick and indifferent, Lord, that doesn't want to come, or first one thing and another, I pray that you'd bind them together, Lord. Lord, just touch their heart and say, come out of her, my people. Come out of this thing that we're in, Lord, of these ideas that are contrary to you, Lord. And let us have the mind, as Paul says, have the mind of Christ to know what to do in this end time. Father, be with us. Touch us as we go eat a natural meal, Lord, and be back together, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
I know He touched me.